Oh yeah, it's 10:05 this Wednesday evening. You're locked into The Pulse, and there was some new music from the 8-cylinder big band featuring renowned trumpeter Takuya Kuroda and the track Bolero. If you like that, you can find that and more off their self-titled debut that they released about 5 days ago. Got to keep it fresh on the show, right, Off?
Is that fresh out of the oven?
Out of the oven, right. Coming up, our first story of the day is about home studios,
Off. Yep, home studios. Will it be the new industry standard? I know we've talked a lot about Billie Eilish last week, but I can't help it because she happens to be the first woman ever to sweep the Big Four awards at the Grammys. Yeah. If you missed out on last week's episode, you can check out the podcast. Well, of course, we have to talk about her, but today we are talking about her brother instead, Finneas O'Connell, who produced every single Billie Eilish track. You could say he's responsible for the Billie Eilish sound.
Yep.
He also won the Grammys for Producer of the Year at 22 years old.
That's right.
Recently, he was in the spotlight for an interview that he did, and he shared some details about his home studio where he recorded every single Billie Eilish song together with her. And while other producers can easily spend a couple hundred thousand on their studio, he only spent less than $3,000.
Wow.
So,
and sweeping the Grammys
like that. So he basically won a Grammy for Producer of the Year with a studio that costs less than $3,000.
I guess for me, most of the times it's about the content, right? If the song is good, if the quality is good, it doesn't matter where and how it's recorded, right?
Yeah, but I guess this breaks the mentality. Somehow there's a mentality that, you know, you need expensive equipment to produce great music, but of course that's not the case with Finneas. And since there are more and more producers like Finneas that chose the comfort of their own home studio over a big and expensive one, I wanted to find out from the perspective of a home studio owner. So I got in touch with Ashwin Govinath. He's the co-founder and partner at Nadir Studios, which is a record label, creative arts hub and production house. Thank you, Ashwin, for joining us on the show. So what's going through your head when you heard the news of Finneas winning Producer of the Year at the Grammys with a home studio that costs less than $3,000?
Honestly, I feel that we are now in a day and age where a lot of shifts are happening, a lot of paradigm shifts are happening. And I won't say gone are the days of the big recording studios. We still need those things, because not only because of the skill set and the history and the equipment and all that, but it depends on the style of music also. You know, I think Billie Eilish's music is at that sweet spot where you could do it in a big studio, but you could also do it at home, you know, in a home studio setting, a small studio setting. But the good thing about Finneas as a producer, I feel, is I think he really made the best out of what he had. And at the end of the day, it boils down to that. It boils down to the skill set of working with what you have to get the best results, right? Because whether you're in a big studio or you're on your laptop, at the end of the day, if the song sounds great, the song sounds great, right?
And I guess a lot of people care about acoustic treatment, even though it's important, but seeing the video of Finneas and Billie Eilish in their home studio, there's no acoustic treatment at all.
Yeah. That's the cool part about it, you know. But
it's
then
just
you listen
bare
to
bones.
You listen to the album, and it still sounds great. You know what I mean?
Yeah. At what point do you think that people started to associate like expensive gear with good music?
Oh, that's a very interesting question, and I'm in a very dangerous position to answer this. But I think a lot of, you know, when you watch videos of stuff that came out back then, and you see them in this massive studio, 96 channel SSL board and outboard gear everywhere.
That's the life.
It's great, you know. Like every engineer you ask them, if they could have a place like that, they would, you know. But then you start thinking about things like, do I need all that, right? Like for me right now, the most that I record in one go is like maybe 16 channels, and I don't need 96 channels. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. So that's how it works, lah.
If the budget is really tight, in your opinion, what is that one equipment that you should really splurge on?
Only one? Yeah. Wow, that's hard, man. I'd say go for either a good set of monitor speakers or a good set of headphones, because that's the final point, right? And that's one thing that determines your sound, you know. Yeah, microphones and everything, definitely. Then it comes down to that subjective taste of what this thing sounds like, right? But when you're mixing and you're mastering and you don't have the right set of monitor speakers or headphones. No matter what you do, even if you have a $10,000 mic, it's still going to sound bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's why I go for that last point in the spectrum, the monitors and headphones.
Very good advice. Very good advice. Now, just going back to acoustic treatment. Now, equipment is one thing, but what about the sound of the studio? And like, you know, a lot of people, like even Phineas, have been using headphones to mix. Yeah. But in your opinion, what do you think about that? More and more people are using headphones instead of speakers.
I think it goes down. It goes back to the kind of producers that are working on the stuff. So every producer has a different sound, right?
Mm.
Like if you listen to, like, let's say Timbaland, for example, Timbaland. A lot of his production is very clean, very tight. You don't hear much reverb in his production. You don't hear many like wet delays and stuff like that. If Timbaland, I'd say he would need, of course he has the multi-million dollar studio or whatever, but imagine when he was first starting out, his sound dictates that kind of requirement, you know, that you need a clean space to record without many reflections. And then there are some rock producers that have a very open and wet sound to their productions, you know. So for me personally, what I've done with my studio is I found a sweet spot that suits the kind of stuff that I do, and it's not wet and it's not too dry, you know, where it's not a dead room. So there's just a little bit of, you know, you hear a bit of the tail of the reverb. And it's very slight, but it creates this very natural space around whatever you're recording.
Because it's the sound of the entire house.
Yeah, right? It's the sound of that room, my recording room, you know. But then when it comes to drums, I have a very open sound. And I have a high ceiling that slants, so it creates this nice open sort of drum, big drum sound. And I like doing that. So I guess I got the best of both worlds there.
So if you want to start out your home studio as well, another tip is to know what kind of sound that you're going for and not to just follow a list blindly online.
Exactly, because every room is different. So if you were to try and treat your room and you don't know what kind of sound you want, you'll just be blindly, you know,
that's
getting
true.
Different sounds. It might be bad, might be good, but still it's not what you want, right?
Yeah, that's true. What's the biggest mistake that you encountered when building your own home studio? And what would you have done differently to prevent it? This for all the budding home studio owners out there.
I think the most important thing is to make sure your mixing room is treated correctly. I wouldn't say treated well, I say treated correctly. Because, like I said, every room is different, right? So you'd want to make sure that you treat it so that, you know, your first reflection points are covered and you're listening to what you're really listening to, not to stuff that's been amplified with the bass and all that, blah, 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 blah. That is one of the most important things. And the other thing is, I'd say, really getting to know what sound you want, you know? Get to know your microphones. What sound can your microphones achieve? What sounds work well with those microphones, right? Like, would a tabla sound good with this microphone, or would it sound better with this microphone? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of experience is important.
Mm-hmm.
Without that, then you'd just be blindly working, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the main things. For me personally, it's been a journey. It's been a journey of discovery.
Trial and error, discovery.
Trial and error, discovery. And you will have to go through that. Even if your studio is perfect from the get-go.
There's no such thing as perfect.
Yeah, you will go through trial and error. For me, the trial and error was, how do I record a drum set nicely in that space that I have? And that trial and error was there, like, how high should the overheads be to capture this nice room sound? Those kind of things. But in terms of the sound of the room and all that, just do your research, see what works well for your space. Don't just blindly get something because somebody said it's damn good. You know, like, everybody used to tell me, like, oh, this mic is great, oh, this monitor speakers are so good, blah 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 blah. But at the end of the day, you have to get something that works well, not something that somebody else told you is great. Because it may sound great to them, but it might sound bad to me.
Thank you, Ashwin, for joining us on the show to impart your wisdom. That's for all the home studio owners out there. I hope you picked up a thing or two.
Yeah, plenty of good nuggets of wisdom there. And something that I agree with him, I mean, sound quality aside, the advantage of recording, I guess, in the proper studio is the producer, right? The producer makes or breaks a song. However, you're bound by time and also expenses. Mm-hmm. At home, though, you can record your own leisure in your pajamas if you want to and take breaks whenever you want.
But of course, you have to be disciplined.
Of course, that's always the case.
Today, we're asking you the question, will bedroom producers in home studios take over the music industry? Join us on join in on the conversation. Tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us your thoughts to 018-789-8899.
That's right. Coming up, we talk about music and mental health. But first up, a tune from Ashwin.
Yep. Let's play a song. This one was produced by Ashwin at Nadir Studios, and it's from percussionist and award-winning composer Santosh Logendran. It's taken from his brand new album called In Pursuit of Santosham. This one's called Rani, featuring You Know Who by Santosh Logendran, right here on The Pulse, BFM 89.9.